Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about God's purpose now. And last week, we started talking about what hinders God's purpose. And really, what it comes down to it is nothing. Nothing can interfere with what God wants to do. Nothing's big enough or strong enough or bad enough or disappointing. Everything's right on track for what God wants to do. For some of us, that may be a real shock, and that may be just totally counter to what you were taught or what you believe. But God's so big and powerful that there's absolutely nothing that's in any of us that can interfere with his plans. There's that old question, can God make a rock too big for him to move? Well, yes and no, of course. He can do whatever he wants. We have a tendency to think that one of our doctrines is that our will, God made our will to be preeminent in our lives, that we can choose something counter to his desires, and then that stops God from doing what he wants. But let's think about that. Where in your being is your will? Your will is part of your soul. Not your spirit, not your body, it's part of your soul. God created your soul. And he gave it to you. Now, I don't know what it looked like before he put it in your body or what it will be like after, but I do know that every single aspect of who you are came from God. So God gave you the soul that he wanted you to have. And he gave you the will that he wanted you to have. And the mind and the emotions that he wanted you to have. So he's not surprised by anything you choose, any choice you make. He's not surprised by your feelings, your thoughts. You are the way you are because God wanted you to the way you are. He made you that way. So he's not testing something that he created. And when we start elevating one aspect of our being, period, whether it's our will, our emotions, our mind, our appearance, when we elevate any aspect of our soul, even our gifts, our talents, our abilities, to more important than other aspects of us, we are believing a lie. And God knew that too. So he's arranging every circumstance in our lives to help us to a realization that what we're believing is a lie. He's allowing our beliefs to fail. Some of them have to fail hard. Some of them take more time and are more complex. They're more tightly wound into our temperament. But God knows what he's doing. And again, very often, by the time he reveals what's going on in our lives, the healing he's doing, or the truth he's revealing, he's been working on it in us a long time. Because he's gentle. He's not out to kick our teeth in to make changes. It's the goodness of God that draws us. Now, he's got a right hand and a left hand. He's the potter. It takes both the right hand and the left hand of God to mold us, to be able to receive everything he wants to give us. But that's his purpose. To make us able to receive him in our soul, in our body. Not so we can fulfill a purpose. Not so we can spread the gospel, evangelize. Whatever your conception of God's purpose for you might be. But to receive more, to receive him fully in your soul. And how does that happen? As he changes us. He teaches us what we need to know. He brings us into alignment, our soul and our body, into alignment with our spirit, which is already perfectly aligned. Receiving, your spirit's already receiving everything it needs for life and godliness here on this earth. Think of that. Your spirit is already receiving everything you need for life, eternal life, and godliness. That's walking it out, walking as a believer, walking as a spirit being. You have everything you need as a spirit. Our problem, your problem, my problem, is our soul. And he could have changed that anytime. He could have built that into the salvation experience. He could have built that into a resurrection experience or a baptism experience where, boom, something happens and all of a sudden all of our wounds are healed. Or boom, all of a sudden all of our lies are exposed and the truth overwhelms them and we all believe right doctrine. And boom, all of our soul is aligned with our spirit. And eternal life flows through us, spirit, soul, and body, perfectly. And we are walking around as little Christs. He could have done that. But he didn't. It's through the process. Through the process you're going through now, for better or for worse, for difficult or for ease, it's through that process that you are getting to know him, that you are experiencing his nature. If we went back to Adam and Eve, they had everything they needed. They walked with God in the cool of the day. It wasn't enough. They were tempted. There was something that was lacking. They wanted to be like God. They wanted knowledge. They wanted something for themselves. And God let them have it. But that separated them from him. Were they perfect? Or were they merely created that way? Did they have the appreciation that's necessary to have a true relationship with God? They had never known anything but union with him, oneness with him. they never had anything but God meeting all their needs. So there was nothing for them to compare it to. So they could not appreciate what they had. For you and I, we learn appreciation, gratitude, how to receive and how to give by experience. So our time here on this earth is all about our experiencing Him. And when we understand that whatever your circumstances are, and the time and the place that you are, it's crafted by God for you. Now, when you're in a difficult or high change situation, very often when you ask God, God, what's going on? Unfortunately, there's a silence because we're asking Him because we want to be able to affect what's going on. And very often He doesn't want it affected. Remember, we learn more from our mistakes than we do from getting things right. So as we sort of keep our eyes on what God wants us to be focused on, and let Him take care of His job, and we take care of our job, there's a simplicity to devotion to Christ. So how do we join God in accomplishing His purpose? Well, it's not effort. It's not trying harder. But it's recognizing that we as spirit beings are already pleasing Him, already accomplishing His purposes. The unfinished part is our soul. What it will look like is walking in the Spirit, walking as a Spirit, walking by the Spirit, living and moving and having our being in the spirit realm and the soulical realm and the natural realm all at the same time. Learning to walk in the Spirit is not as hard as it is sometimes made out to be if we remember that it is God doing the teaching. It is His responsibility. And we can trust Him. If it were up to us to learn, to get God to teach us, to figure out what we need to learn, we'd be hopeless. God Himself is providing everything we need to join Him in His purposes now. Again, what are His purposes? His purposes are in you, bringing you into oneness. And if we focus on His purposes, join Him in what He's doing, we know we will have success. So is there anything we can do? What can we do? First, we show up for class. This is sometimes so simple, we forget to do it. God really only wants two things from us, our time and our attention. We usually don't grumble too much when others make a claim on either our time or our attention, but somehow, perhaps because we don't see a quick response, we have a hard time giving our time and attention to God. And we've talked many times before about how to do that. We're going to go back through that again, just as a reminder. And this is where we really need the encouragement, don't we? Yes, you're on the right track. Yes, you are having an effect. It is having an effect in your life. Yes, are you hearing him clearly enough for you? Here's how you change that. Here's how you work this through. You cooperate with him. Second, we work on the assignments he gives us. Again, this involves knowing what his purpose is, his ultimate agenda. Recognizing and submitting to his sovereignty and learning to abide and rest in him. Do you trust him? Do you know he loves you? Do you know he's working everything for your good? Everything. If not, don't worry about that either. He's working on that as well, because that's what he wants for you. What he wants for you, you want. And he's working it out. It's just a matter of time and attention. While you're here on this earth, it's all about what you experience. Part of our challenge is, do we draw back from our lives? Do we think, you know, simplify everything, get away from everything, get away from everybody? That and carve ourselves off time to spend with God, go to a monastery type of thing. And yet we find, even in history, those who did seclude themselves to supposedly minister to God found themselves closest to knowing him when they were ministering to others. There was still a matter of being filled and giving out. Now, you and I don't have to go to a monastery. Whatever situation you're in, whether you're retired and have a beach house and can do whatever you want, or you are a young mother with four kids and a husband who's working all day and rarely home, whether you have time on your hands or no time on your hands, your spirit is just as close to God. He is working in you just as much, whether you have all the time in the world or no time. What you find is it's through those experiences during the day, either by yourself or with your kids, for instance, whether you're doing brain surgery, calculus, or mopping the floor, having that awareness of him makes the most of each experience. Every moment of the day is an experience. It's an opportunity to know him, and he reveals himself in whatever way he chooses. We are to study to show ourselves approved, not to get ourselves approved. You are approved. You've already been born into the family. What we're all doing now is learning the family business. He's not just going to turn over the family business for us to run without him training us. And he's training each one of us in a different way, in a different situation, because we're going to take over something different in his kingdom, which is now. We don't know what's next. We don't know what's tomorrow. But we know he does. He created tomorrow. He created time. And he will have us ready for whatever is next. Not so we can pass the test, but because in Christ, we have already passed the test. Again, we study to show ourselves approved, not to get ourselves approved. We study, do our homework, in order to reveal what he has already done. Then when life's tests come, his idea of tests, not necessarily ours, the changes that he has made in us are revealed. The wounds that he has healed, the misunderstandings of who he is have been altered. Even how we feel about other people, what we think about what God is doing, we find those things changed. Because he's changed them. Not because we've gone in and figured it out and recalculated and gives us those aha moments. He gives us life. When we approach each day in this way, his call to walk his way is exciting and encouraging because we can depend on him to have prepared us for each day and everything it holds. He tests us not to reveal what we have or haven't learned, but to reveal his son in us, his character, our new character. So we could say that since his son always gets an A+, we are also assured of getting an A+. We can have that confidence that when God thinks of us, he looks at us, when he spends time with us, we are 100% approved as is. Because we're on our way. We're exactly where he wants us to be. That's all he asks of us. To experience our life here. So what else can we do? Is there anything else? We can develop persistence. We join in God's purposes by sticking it out with him. There will be many opportunities in our lives to settle for less because good and better are always the greatest enemies of best. When we've received a little healing or even a lot, we often stop and enjoy it a little too long, especially when we realize we need more healing and we start to seek it. We recall the pain that can come along with the initial healing process, the difficulties, the change. We don't like to change. God knows that. Or we compare what God is doing in our lives with what is going on in others. A biggie is, God, why do I have to change? That Christian over there doesn't have to change at all. And they look at all the bad habits they've got. But the more healing you receive, the less you will be like those who haven't. You may begin to fit in less and less with your old crowd. So there will be a temptation to settle for the healing and freedom you've already received in order to fit in. Now, this doesn't mean you dump your old crowd. You just understand fitting in is not something that's going to happen. You're still there. You're still part of the crowd. but you'll never fit in with them. Here a decision has to be made. Since it is for freedom we've been set free, once you've tasted it and been changed by it, to turn your back on freedom means more to God and to your true spiritual nature than if you had never experienced freedom in the first place. So it's not about cutting off ties, leaving the church, being, having moved on from your friends. No, it's about being free to stay at that church, knowing you don't have to push people away for God to do what he wants to do in you, because it's between the two of you. Now, there may be circumstances where he says, okay, in order your next experience is away from this place, then you go. But don't assume that because you no longer fit in, that's an automatic opportunity, automatic order to go. But don't reject God's plans for you by saying, God, if I don't believe what everybody else believes and do what everybody else does, I'm not going to fit in. So if I have to make the choice, I'm going to stay with my friends. But saying enough healing, enough freedom, enough truth, saying enough to the Lord is rejecting his plan for you. And he will often deal very precisely with us in these cases because we often know exactly what we're doing. Very often, he will give us what we've asked for, to be left alone, so we can be with our friends, so we cannot have to change. But then he leaves us alone until we say, God, okay, I get it. I choose you. So commit yourselves to enduring to the end. And don't settle for less than the absolute freedom and wholeness God intends for each of us. Joining God as he works out his purposes in our lives enables us to rest and abide with confidence, regardless of what's going on in your circumstances. When we know we're on God's side, we know the result is guaranteed and will be satisfying for both us and God, though it may be a hidden thing. We can face life's guaranteed trials and tribulations with excitement, waiting to see what God is going to do, knowing that all is under his loving control. And we can step up to the plate of our own lives, knowing that God is aligning our desires, dreams, goals, and aspirations with his. We can take on responsibility for our solical actions. We can exercise authority. We can be the spirit being God made us to be. So as we truly get to know God in the experiential way, we enjoy eternal life now. Though our lives are no longer under the control of our souls, but of our spirit, the contentment experienced by our soul and eventually our body is well worth the sacrifice of our time, attention, and whatever demands God may place on us. So we'll pick it up here. I'm going to talk about dependence next week and why dependence is so utterly crucial to knowing God. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.